Welcome to Time from the Word of God in the Bible from Daleville Christian Church. There are several scriptures that speak to the trustworthiness of God's Word for you. If we listen deeply, these ancient words will speak truth to your life. We always have an affirmation of faith, also taken from God's Word. Today's from 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. The reading of God's Word for today is from Matthew's Gospel in the 18th chapter. Beginning in the 21st verse and finishing the chapter through verse 35. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. When the master called the servant in, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today we're talking about forgiveness. Why? Lots of reasons. We claim to be Jesus' followers. Forgiveness was important to Jesus. Forgiveness is central to our Christian religion faith. As Jesus' followers, we are called to practice forgiveness. The season of Lent will be here in a couple of weeks, a season of penitence, and life today gives us opportunities to practice forgiveness every day. Like those boneheads doing dangerous things in traffic. People who aren't driving their vehicles, although they think they are, when they're actually talking on their cell phones. Not hands-free. That's been outlawed in our state and a number of other states. So they drive too slow, they wait at green lights, they drive through red lights, they're simply not paying attention to the moving 2 tons of steel and plastic they're driving, and that everyone else is driving just a few feet from them, and some doing so at 70 miles an hour. They're threatening my life, your life, our loved ones' lives, and the accident that they will surely cause at some time may injure ourselves, those we love, someone. I don't know about you, but I need to forgive them before I begin using theological language in an untheological way. And I will tell you that if I want to condemn another driver to hell, I believe in what I am saying, and I know something of what I'm talking about when I talk about hell. So unlike many people today, if I talk about hell, I'm serious. So yes, life gives me situations every day that allow me a chance to practice forgiveness. And those are the easier ones. What about when your cousin joins a cult and believes he's a better Jesus follower than you? And he tells your grandmother, who has a broken hip at the age of 80 years and in a wheelchair in pain, that if she had enough faith, she could get up out of the wheelchair and walk. My grandmother, our grandmother, whose family were founders and charter members of the church in which we grew up. I was given another chance to forgive. How could I have known growing up that my family would give me an encyclopedia of sermon illustrations that are absolutely true? I saw them happen. I was called on to forgive, even my crazy cousin. I had to forgive my crazy ex-girlfriend, too, but that's another true story. Jesus talks about forgiveness in today's Bible verses with a story, but I wanted to mention that Jesus first talked about forgiveness back in chapter 6 of Matthew, a part of the Sermon on the Mount, teaching the lesson of his story in chapter 18. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, mentioning our Lord's Prayer, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." My old professor says that if you knew Greek like he did, you would know that the way Jesus presented this, it's more a warning to all of us rather than a promised hope of our own forgiveness. A warning. Jesus later shares an illustration of what he mentioned back in the Sermon on the Mount. You know this story, I hope. It's often referred to as the parable of the unforgiving servant. In Jesus' story, a king has money owed to him, and one servant owes a lot of money. More money than he could possibly scrape together. The only thing to do is to sell the servant's family, and everything the servant owns in order to retire the debt. Now, scholars really, really like to spend too much time on the money figure that Jesus tosses out. There are times when we ask too much of God's Word that God's Word did not intend to answer. The best answer and the real answer to the amount of the servant's debt was that the debt was a lot. And besides, the amount is incidental to what Jesus is teaching. It doesn't matter. It would be like asking what was the servant's name. It doesn't matter. Jesus tells the story, verse 26, "So the servant fell on his knees imploring him, 'Lord, have patience with me and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that servant released him and forgave him the debt." So the servant tries to cut a deal with the king, but the king just forgives the whole debt. There will be no deal. There will be no public auction. The entire large debt, whatever it was canceled. That was how the king dealt with the servant. The servant got even more mercy than the servant asked for. The story is only half over. Jesus continued the story. But that same servant, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and besought him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused, and went and put him in prison till he should pay the debt. So the shoe went on the other foot. Come to find out, the servant forgiven his debt has someone indebted to him who says the very same words the first servant used with the king. This servant, too, is asking to cut a deal in order to pay the debt. And the servant who was given more mercy than what he asked for refuses to cut a deal, does not forgive the debt. He doesn't even lessen the debt, which he could do. No. The forgiven debtor sends the one debtor to him, to debtor's prison. Now, before we get to Jesus' point and lesson, let's notice. The unforgiving servant just violated the golden rule. The servant, who was forgiven, refuses to consider any amount of forgiveness of debt to him. The large debt forgiven, the smaller debt gets debtor's prison. The one who was shown more mercy than requested shows no mercy. The unforgiving servant did not do unto others what he wanted done for him. The unforgiving servant did not do unto others what he wanted done for him. He violated the golden rule. Notice again, the unforgiving servant did not even consider the same deal that the unforgiving servant offered to the king. Now that's being a hypocrite. And now we come to Jesus' lesson, which is a warning. The king finds out about this whole story, and in Jesus' words, the king asks, "Should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you?" He asks a question. Here's the lesson. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Now, before we all start reviewing if we have forgiven everyone who ever hurt us, please notice the example Jesus gives. The unforgiving servant. First of all, he lacks compassion. Compassion literally means to suffer with. The unforgiving servant cannot see, seems to refuse to see, that his debtor as being in the same situation that he himself was in just a few hours before. The unforgiving servant won't even cut a deal. It's the same deal he himself offered to the king, and he won't do it. And, as I said, that's being a hypocrite. Interesting, Matthew mentions hypocrites 13 times in his gospel book, more than any book in the Bible. We saw it last week, Jesus' story of the unfaithful servant who tires of waiting for the master to return and starts abusing his power rather than do his job. Jesus said, "The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour he does not know, and will punish him and put him with the hypocrites. There men will weep and gnash their teeth." So the unforgiving servant will not cut a deal with his own debtor. That would be a measure of mercy. It's a forgiveness of time. The servant could pay later. That's what the unforgiving servant asked for from the king. The unforgiving servant won't even forgive the time to pay. So in Jesus' example, it isn't speed that is the issue. Many American Christians beat themselves because they can't forgive right away. That isn't the unforgiving servant's sin. The unforgiving servant won't even give time to pay the debt. The unforgiving servant who asked for time, for patience, refused to consider it. Friends, if you need to take time to forgive someone, do it. Just don't forget to do it. Jesus didn't say forgive right away, although many Christians read their Bible that way. I've told you that for one of my daughters, once our nasty disagreement was over with hard words and voices, she was over it. I wasn't. I couldn't say, "Okay, then what should we have for supper?" She could. I couldn't. I can't. I'm not put together that way. I have to process. I told you that once here in worship, and we were saying the Lord's Prayer, my tongue slipped and I said, "Forgive us our daughters," instead of forgive us our debtors? And I thought, well, Gary, do you think that that's a hint it's time for you to forgive your daughter? And I said, yes. So I did. As Jesus tells the story, the unforgiving servant isn't even going to consider his debtor's request for time. Forgiveness, which the unforgiving servant just received, forgiveness never enters the unforgiving servant's mind. My old professor said that in the Greek, when the unforgiving servant refused his debtor's request, the refusal is stated with iterative force. Have you ever said something with iterative force? I think my junior high English teacher knew what that meant, but I didn't. I had to look it up. It would mean that the unforgiving servant didn't just say no. While shaking his head, he would have said something like, no, not 1 minute. No, out of the question, don't even ask. The book of James says, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Friends, these are instructions for the believers. Jesus is a realist. The Bible is for real people. You can't gather in Jesus' name without forgiveness from one another. No community can last long without forgiveness because we are human even as we want to be human Jesus followers. Heaven is for those who practice forgiveness. And what of those who won't even consider forgiveness? Well, the book of James says, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Jesus finished his story in verse 13. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Last week, Jesus finished the story with, we'll punish him and put him with the hypocrites. Their men will weep and gnash their teeth. They will be cast out, unfit for human communion, unfit for heavenly communion, unfit for heavenly habitation. You see, hell is for those who don't want to live in heaven. When asked about forgiving someone, their answer is, no, not a bit. It's out of the question. Don't even ask. Those going to hell have pronounced their own judgment. Those going to hell have pronounced their own judgment. Jesus said that. If you can't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:2. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Can you see now why in our worship, the Lord's Prayer is spoken before communion? In those moments, if we can be sincere, we are preparing ourselves to eat with one another at the Lord's table. If we can't say those words and mean them at some point, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, if we can't say it and at some point mean it, as Jesus stated, from our hearts, then we are not ready for the Lord's table. If you need time to forgive, take it. Consider forgiving others. Consider reducing the debt. Jesus eliminated our debt. Our Lord has shown more mercy than you and I could ever ask for. Just don't forget to forgive others from your heart. Amen.